Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are God. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have come to say, oh Lord, forgive us, heal our land.
Join us. I am your host, Pastor Ross. It's a lovely, blessed day today. Hey, y'all staying safe out there? Are you sheltering in place? Using your mask, your lights off? Y'all know Corona running wild, but let's not lose our heads because we know that God gives us authority over everything. But in all things, he said, let's be wise and not foolish. So do what you got to do to keep yourself safe, all right? Well, today we're going to be talking about what are your thoughts. We're going to be talking about that mind thing. You know, when we get a word from the Lord, our leader gives us instructions, how do we think about it? You know, so we're going to be discussing our thought process as it pertains to the Word of God. This program is strictly about the Word of God. It's not about our own personal ideologies or philosophy. Sorry, buddy. But we're going to be scripture based, and we're going to go precept upon precept. So if you want to join me, you can join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345, or you can call in at 516-531-9550. All right, so that's how you can contact me. You can call in at 516-531-9550. So we're going to go ahead and get this program started today. I want to first just say a little something before we go to our music intro. Now, we know that we're in some trying times right now. But the thing that you have to realize is, how do you see them? How do you think about it? We talked last time about fear that we don't have anything to be afraid of. We're sitting on the Word of God. We put the natural things, the spiritual things together. We're doing all we need to do to keep ourselves safe, but we're believing God for His Word over our lives. He says that we shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. By His stripes, we are what? Healed. So if we're going to stand on that and have faith and believe that, then we know we are right, all right? So I just want to say this song out there for you next. We're going to listen to Fred Hampton, Keeping My Mind. Why? Because we're talking about our thoughts today. I'll be back with you in 5. Thank you. Right, that was Fred Hammond, Keeping My Mind. Quite appropriate for our topic today, right? So, let us examine this mind thing. What are your thoughts? As I said, we're going to be answering the question of, you know, what does it mean when the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? What is that? And how do we do that? As for all things, we look to Scripture for the answer. Now, we see that at Philippians 2, which is the where we find this scripture, so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took up on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's the first thing. That is the first thing. We cannot go to God, and when God gives us a calling, gives us an assignment, or gives us instructions, we cannot go to God with our own mind. Romans 8 says that when we receive Christ, we become a what? A new creation in Christ Jesus. So therefore, our thought pattern, how we see things, all of that should change. See, we then become servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, verse 8 says, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, that's where we get it wrong. We don't want to be obedient. We want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, how we think we ought to do it, but no one is asking you to think. Christ walked the earth, and every time a controversy came up, he said that I must be about my Father's business. When things come up in our life that contradict what God has called us to do, or contradicts our walk in Christ, is that it? Is that our affirmation? Is our affirmation, I must be about my Father's business? Or is our affirmation, oh, well, that doesn't pertain to me, I got to do what I got to do. But then if the Bible says if Christ be for you, then who can be against you? Why do we think we need an excuse not to do what God is calling us to do? It says that he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. In this Christ walk, we know that even now we're in end days. We're living in the end days. These are perilous times. As it says, there would be wars and rumors of war. Okay? Families will be coming against each other. We see that. We see that already, especially with this plague. We got going Walmart, or even you don't even have to go. Just look on Facebook and you see people fighting over toiletries. And other supplies and stuff that are in short demand here. Why? Why? It makes no sense. We're going to be at each other's throats for a pack of tissue when you got 40 in your basket. Makes no sense whatsoever. But what are your thought patterns that you think that you have to fight for a pack of tissue? Why can't we just simply believe God that, what does he say? He said that he would what? That he would provide for us. The battle is not ours anyway. So we make the preparations. We do the things that we need to do, but put God first. His word says that if we put his kingdom first and all of its righteousness, everything else will be what? It will be added unto us. So whatever we need, it will be added unto us. It's going to come to us. We don't have to go through all of these extracurricular activities trying to obtain the things that we need, but we would be led, if we would be led by his Spirit, he will do what? He will direct our path. Continuing on in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11, it says where we left off at in verse 8, he said, and he became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given a name which is above all names. If we don't worry about our station in life or where we are in life, because it is God who promotes us. It is God who exalts us. Yes, we are servants. Yes, we begin as servants to serve him. in humbleness of heart and mind. Remember the word says, do not think more highly of yourself than you what? Than you ought to. See, we ought to have a spirit of humility. Now, does that mean that you just let everybody run all over you? No, that's not what a spirit of humility is. That's not what a spirit of humility is. I'm sorry, y'all. You just don't let everybody take advantage of you. Remember, the Bible says that we must be harmless as doves, but wise as a serpent. See? So, no, it doesn't mean that, you know, people just get to run roughshod all over us. We have a Father that is in heaven. See? We have a Father that is in heaven, and Jesus, who's our advocate. See? So we don't need to allow people to just run all over us. No, that's not what that means. The spirit of humility, a spirit of humility means that we don't have a need for self-justification. In other words, we ain't got to prove anything to anybody. The Bible says we are justified in what? Christ Jesus. We have our own intrinsic self-worth because we realize what God has said about us. We realize who we are in Christ. As it says in Deuteronomy, we are above and not beneath. We are the head and we are not the tail. See? So our ego, so to speak, does not have any play in us. No pride and no self-importance. We are humble. But we still have our God-given authority. So, no, the enemy doesn't get to just run roughshod all over our lives using people and things to make us feel or to make us think less than what God has called us to be. Amen? See? We have to understand that. Let's not get humility conflicted. I get it confused. See, let's not get it confused with just being somebody's doormat. No, that's not what we are. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It simply means that you are not letting your ego get in the way of what God has called you to do. You're not thinking more highly of yourself, see, than you ought to. So verse 9 said, wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Allow God to give you that name that he has called you. Not what you think, not what you see yourself as. Too many times we allow the things of the past to come in and define us. What other people have said. It's not about what they have said. What has God said about you? See? What has God said about you? What did he call you? Did he call you pastor? Did he call you mother, evangelist, teacher? What name has God given you? Not what the people in the streets or in your life or even in your home called you. Once you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, that's no longer your name. Those things are things of the past. So they no longer have any business defining you. They have no business defining you. See? None at all. So we cannot allow those things to distract us from our salvation. See? From our walk of righteousness. Our walk in holiness. Our walk in the things that God has called us to do. Our walk in purpose. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, while we're talking about being humble and being servants unto Christ. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. We have to be patient. Our thoughts. Sometimes we think, you know, and we don't think before we act. We just act. A thought comes to our mind and it quickly becomes an action. Why? Because we didn't take the time to consult God to see whether that thought was even of God. You think the enemy is not going to talk to you? That's what the Bible tells us. Resist temptation and it will flee from you. See? He's going to send those thoughts to your mind that are contrary from the word of God. When we confess Christ and we begin to learn how to live Christ, we're not exclusively done with all of the sins we used to commit. Those bad feelings about people when they step on your toe or get on your nerves, the first thing you want to do is resort to the way you were before you confessed Christ. It's not gone away. Those things come through prayer, fasting, studying the scripture, getting the things of God in our heart and in our minds that we think on these things. We no longer think on the things of the world. In other words, we're changing our thought pattern. That's how we let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in us. This is how we let it richly dwell in us. By the word of God. See, by meditating on it, studying it. Praying for understanding, a revelation on it, so that when those times come up, when those situations come up, we are able to reflect on, okay, this is what the word says. This is how I should act. This is how I should react to this. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See? He's giving you a new heart and a new what? And a new mind. See? Verse 21 says that if a man therefore purge himself of all of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. See, so all the old things that we used to think about, all the old things that we used to do before we confess Christ, see, we must purge ourselves from them. Getting into the word of God, understanding who we are in him, understanding our worth. Many times when people don't have self-worth, they'll do things that they're really not proud of just to please other people because they need that gratification from other folks. But when you realize that in Christ, God loves you in spite of. You don't have to do anything special for God to love you. He already loves you. Christ already died for your sins. God sent his son. Remember? He sent his son. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That we might be what? That we might be saved. Meaning that we might be reconciled back to God. That he can come down in the cool of the day as he did with Adam and speak to us. See, now he speaks to us in prayer. We are able to go before his throne, go boldly before his throne in prayer and make all of our petitions known. Before that, before Christ died, before there was a blood sacrifice, see, the priest had to go. We had to bring our offerings, bring our sacrifices to the priest at the temple, leave it in the outer court, leave it at the door of the temple. The priest would then take our sacrifice, whether it be a dove or a lamb or whatever we had, a cow, whatever we had, and we would leave it at the door, and the priest would then take it, sanctify it, and burn it on the brazen altar. But now all of that is done away with. Christ was the sacrificial lamb for all of us. For our sins. Our only need is to just confess that he was the Son of God. He lived in the flesh. He came and he died, and again, then he rose for us. You know this story. We just had Easter. You know this. And he rose for us, and we believe that. There's no need to bring anything to the priest. You can go boldly before God's throne for yourself now. But you've got to have a mind to do that. Your thought pattern has to change, that every tongue under heaven, see, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You've got to have that mindset in all things. That is how you let this mind that is in Christ also richly dwell in you. You've got to recognize who you are, that Christ thought so much of you that he died for you. So when anybody tells you, oh, you'll never be nothing, you'll never have nothing, you're just like this person, you're just like that person, yeah, I'm just like Christ. Next time you say, oh, you're just like your daddy, you're right. I'm just like my Father, which art in heaven. New mindset. See? So their words no longer have any power over you. See? And they tell you, it'll never be nothing. You're right. I will never be nothing because I am everything in Christ Jesus. See? New mindset. So those words that they speak to you and the situations and circumstances in life, you just have a new outlook on it because now you are kingdom-minded. The thoughts that you have are the same thoughts that Christ had when he said, I've got to be about my Father's business. There was nothing that anyone could bring to Christ that would make him, cause him to stray away from what God said. Even when Satan met him coming out of the wilderness after his 40 days of fasting and praying. You knew me, 40 days you hungry. Here comes Satan tempting him, and he said, if you be, now this is the thing, if you be the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread, turn them into bread, because see, I know you hungry. That's why he tempted him with the things that he knew or that he thought he wanted or needed. So you have to realize that, because the enemy is not going to bring you anything that is really not going to tempt you. See? He's not going to bring you anything that you don't want or anything that you don't need. See? So he came to Christ. He said, if you be the Son of God. See, you should have known right then when he said, if you be, you already are. Anytime someone brings to you, wants you to prove who you are, you don't need to prove it. Remember, you are justified in Christ. You don't need, hey, you working in the spirit of humility. There's nothing for you to prove. You're not working for self-gratification. You're not working for self-exaltation. So Christ's response to him was, hey, listen, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you bringing me this, you know I'm going to eat. This is just temporary. This is a temporary circumstance. This is not permanent. Let's stop allowing the enemy to cause us to perceive things that are temporary as permanent situations. It's a lie. Remember, he's a liar and the father of lies. See? And then he brought him up, you know, to the temple. And he told him again, if you be the Son of God. And it is true that God said, you know, in Isaiah, that he shall not dash his foot against a stone. Throw yourself off the top of this tower, because he said his angels will catch you. And Christ responded, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I already know. In other words, I already know who I am. I don't need to prove anything to you. In my mind, in my thoughts are in one accord with that which my Father has spoken concerning me. So you can't bring me this mess to get me to prove something to you. I don't need to prove anything to you. My walk in Christ is going to speak for me. See, and James is saying, let the work that I've done speak for me. How are you walking? How are you living? Can others see by your example that you are a man or woman of God? There's no need for you to think any differently about yourself. There's no need for you to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, because you know in your spirit, in your mind, that I am who God has called me to be. So it doesn't matter what other people say. See? So that's how you let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you. Again, this is Pastor Leona Ross at If My People on Blog Talk Radio. If you would like to join us, you can call in at 516-531-9550. Today we're talking about, what are your thoughts? Talking about the thought process as it pertains again to the Word of God. All right, we just got done talking about, let this mind that is in you, that is in Christ Jesus, richly dwell in you. Now, we want to talk about if we're truly able to hear what the Lord is speaking to us, or if we just tend to put our own interpretation on it and lean to our own understanding. When we receive a word, or we hear a sermon and we hear a word from God, and we know that this is us, we know that for surely it's us, do we abide by Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide thy steps. Some say he will make your path straight. That's the ESV version. Or do you quickly say, oh, no, that's not me. That's not me. That's not about me. God, did God say that? You start immediately questioning. Did God say that? Was he talking to me? Pastor, are you sure that that message was for me? Was it for me? Was it about me? Are you sure? See, because I don't think it was me. Or if God, you get godly instruction, and God says do A, B, C, D, and E, and you decide to do it E, A, D, and C, and you upset because it didn't work out. But did you follow the process? Did you follow the order in which the instructions were given to you? Or did you lean to your own understanding because you thought you knew more than God? Essentially, when we lean to our own understanding, when we start to reason the Word of God, and we know that it came from God, but because we feel, we think that we can do it better, or no, I don't really think God meant for me to be pastor. I'll tell you a little story. When I first got called to ministry, I was like, oh, my God, you sure you want me to be pastor? Because, you know, you don't know what I've done. Now, how asinine is that thought? That was a thought. Not thinking that God knows you through and through. He knows your past, present, or future. What did he tell Jeremiah? He said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Jeremiah, I knew you. So what are you talking about? Don't even say you're a child. I know what I called you to do. I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. That's what I did. So don't tell me what you can't do. And essentially, that is the thought process. When we get a prophecy, when we get a word from God, we immediately think in our carnal, fleshly nature. God has never asked any person he has called or that he has chosen to do anything out of their flesh. Because the flesh has to die in order for the will of God to be done in your life. See? Let me say that again. The flesh has to die in order for anything in the will of God to be done in your life. Because as long as your flesh is in the way, guess what? There's always going to be a battle in your mind. Because every time you want to think about doing something for God, your flesh is always going to come up with a reason not to do it. Even the words say that the flesh is at war, what? With the spirit. See? See? That's Galatians 5:17. See? The flesh is at war with the spirit. And we have to realize that. First of all, see? It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. You cannot do the things that God is calling you to do if your flesh is in control. Galatians 5:16 says, then I say, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See? Because verse 18, but if ye are led of the spirit, you are not under the law. See? And we know that being under the law, the wages of sin is what? Death. There is no life under the law. Eternal life only comes by the spirit of the living God, believing in the Son of God, who is Christ Jesus. So your flesh has no place in doing the will of God. It's going to always get in the way. It's going to always bring you back to your past. And understand this. The only thing that the enemy can use against you are the things of your past. He can only use those sins you've already committed. But those things are what? They are washed away. They are gone. In God's book, those once you confess Christ, those things are washed away. That is your past. That is who you were, not who you are. So there's no need to think on those things. But he will bring back to your remembrance. See, every time you get up to pray, every time you get up to preach, every time you get up just to praise God, how you gonna praise God? And you just did this last week, or you just did that the other day. Remember when you used to? See, he's using those things to get your mind off where God is leading you. Remember he said, you know, acknowledge me, trust me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to what you think. Just acknowledge me and trust me, and I am going to guide you. You said if he's guiding you, guess what? You're moving forward. You're not looking backwards. There's no need for you to look backwards if God is guiding you. Because someone is guiding you, and you don't know where you're going, you're going to pay attention to that person in front of you so you what? So you don't get lost. And that's the same principle here. You've got to keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and that which he has spoke concerning you so that you no longer are lost. Understand that. It's like follow the leader. That's all it is. I'm following Christ. I'm following Christ. I'm following in his footsteps. He's showing me the path that I need to walk. So, I need to pay attention. I need to see where God is leading me through prayer, fasting, spending time in his word. See? And I've got to do this daily. He said, let your mind be renewed what? Daily. See? It's an everyday thing. It's not something you can do once a week, you know, or, you know, twice a month, or whenever the pastor might call special service or special prayer service, you know. No, it's daily. It's daily. You have to renew your mind daily. Every day. That's how you keep your, that is how you change your thought pattern. That is how you change your thought pattern. That is how you allow, let this mind that is Christ in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you. See? See? And you follow him. See? Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? Day. The renewing of your mind. Philippians 4 and 8 say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, then you think on these things. You know, it doesn't say think on the things of the world. See, it says you think on these things. See? See? This is the thought pattern. These are the things that we need to be thinking on. Not everything, not the temporary things that are going on in the world. As I said, we need to keep our minds on Christ and continually follow him. Follow his example. Understand his words. See? Then we'll be able to truly possess that mind of Christ. And we will grow in it. We will grow from glory to glory. Higher levels and higher understanding in him. Because it's not about us. It's not about how we think, and it's not about how we feel. It's always going to be about God's will for us. Amen? We're going to take a little bit of a little break right now. I'm going to play a couple of songs. We're going to listen to, Danny Gokey, Haven't Seen It Yet. And we're also going to hear from Mr. Darren Hall. He's Able. And I'll be right back after that.
Have you been praying and you still have no answers? Have you been pouring out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? Don't forget the things that he has done before. And remember he can do it all once more. It's like the brightest sunrise. Wait.
right. That was versus Danny Gokey, and you haven't seen it yet. And darn hard, he able. Again, this is Pastor Leona Ross, Blog Talk Radio. If my people. All right. Today we're talking about our thought path. Lean into our own understanding. Let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you. Now, the third part of that is if we believe our leaders. Do we believe our pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, whoever, whatever the title may be that is over you, bishop, whatever that title may be. Do we believe what they say, what they tell us when they say, thus saith the Lord? Well, 1 John chapter 4:1 says, my beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. But let me ask you this question. When a leader tells you something, you know, just say leader, your pastor, bishop, whomever, you know who you sit under. When they tell you something, do you believe it? Or do you say, oh, no, that is not from God? Now, we tend to do that. We tend to accept what they say when it's a prophecy or when there is a word about some increase in finances, a new car, a new house. We tend to accept the good stuff. But when it comes to correction, when it comes to chastening, when it comes to us changing a behavior that we like to do and we don't want to change, oh, no, that ain't God. I know God ain't gave him or her that message. We all going all on the left. But just last week when they prophesied that house, when they prophesied the good stuff, then he was a man or she was a woman of God. Amen? See? So how is he a man or how is she a woman of God? You see, when things are good, but not when they're bad, when it comes to correction. See, how is it? How is that? I want y'all to think about that for a minute. I just want y'all to just, well, is that how I act? Is that how I think about my leader? That everything is good until he comes to correct me. See? When the Bible clearly says that to be chastened is that you are blessed. That is a blessing. Because if they didn't care, they wouldn't even try to correct you. Psalms 94:12, blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. Because every chastening is just correction. See how our minds lead us astray? How we reject the truth when it comes from our leaders sometimes? Because we don't want to be humble. We don't want to do what God is requiring us to do. We want to do what we want to do. See? When the Bible clearly says that whom God loves, he what? He chasteneth it. Whom God loves, he chastises, he corrects. See? Then if he sent our spiritual leaders, to do the same thing, to walk in his image? You mean to tell me that they can't correct us without us getting an attitude, without us getting mad? Hebrews 12, 6 through 7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? A lot of people talk about these kids, how they disobey their parents, and they don't know how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, and all of that. He said, but God's word said that whom he chastens, they are a son. If you're not chastened, you're not a son, and therefore you are what? You are a bastard. You have no place in the kingdom. I'm not saying that's what the word says. You can agree with it or not. It's up to you. This is what the word says. Now, back to honoring our leaders. Back to understanding. Have you tested the spirit by the spirit? Are you mad with your leader just because he corrected you? Or are you sitting up with underneath somebody and you're looking around in the church and they're doing everything and the people are doing any and everything and still calling it Jesus? Still saying they're doing it in the name of Jesus when it's totally contrary to scripture. They say test the spirit by the spirit. Remember, we just said that the flesh wars against the spirit, especially when it is the spirit of God. See? When we have the Holy Ghost is able to control our minds. See? Keeps you in the will of God. See? But now, when we get from under the Holy Ghost, when our mind goes to our flesh and begins to listen to things opposite of that which God has said, case in point, let's go all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis 3, when Eve was talking to the serpent, now, here's the conversation that they had in Genesis 3 and 1. It said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. That's how they come to you. See? They come to you with a want or a need, you know, subtly making you think that, oh, it ain't nothing wrong with this conversation. And a little time later, you find yourself caught up all from a little conversation, planting those seeds in your mind. Got you looking at stuff that you should have not have been looking at in the first place. See? Genesis 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in this garden. He already knew he told him that. He already knew that God had told him that. And the woman said unto the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, yet lest ye die. She knew what the instructions were. God gave the instructions to Adam, Adam gave the instructions to Eve. So she understood what the instructions were. She should have left the conversation right then. But then the serpent went on talking. See, and that's what we do sometimes because they pique our interest. We want to hear what else they got to say. Sometimes what else they got to say ain't good for us because it leads us down a path of iniquity that we don't need to go. Cut it off. Keep going. This is not going to be conducive to the spirit of God that is in me. So I'm going to cut you off right there. I got something else to do because I'm going to keep my mind on what? I'm going to keep my mind on Jesus. I'm going to stay focused on what God has called me to do. I ain't got time to talk to you. Yeah, that's what he told me to do. That's the end of the conversation. But no, she kept listening. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He just outright contradicted the word of God. How many times has your leader spoke a word over your life? And you were so excited about it that you ran and you told your friend. He said, oh, that ain't going to happen to you. You ain't even qualified for that. See, they start tearing down what God has said. See, not only they're coming against you, but they're coming against your leader. They're coming against the man or woman of God, and they're also coming against God. Because if this indeed is a word is for God, then you are in direct opposition to that which God has said. Remember, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. See? So he said, no, you ain't going to die. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Remember when we talked about stay humble. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. These were all seeds that Satan sowed in Eve's mind to get her to look at herself differently. Eve didn't have no inclination of being God. Satan did. Satan was the one that in Isaiah 14:1-5 said that I will lift my throne above his throne. I will be God. See, this is what he wanted. See? He was happy walking around the garden, eating, you know, just doing whatever Adam told her to do. Because remember, she was his helpmate. See, Adam was the one that spoke with God. And then he relayed the message to Eve. The only voice she should have heard was Adam, because Adam was like God. Because he spoke directly the words of God. Remember when God brought Adam the animals and he said, what do you call this one? And what do you, and even to this day, that is an elephant still an elephant, a bear still a bear, a dog still a dog. Those were the things that Adam spoke out of the mind of God. Why? Because Adam and God had the same mind, the same thoughts. See? Back to let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly what? Dwell in you. So you have those godly thoughts. You have those kingdom thoughts. So when something comes contrary to that, you immediately, you evict it out of your head. You evict it out of your, no, that ain't what God said. You don't even accept it. It doesn't even have the opportunity to lay root. But Eve didn't do that. Eve kept listening. And not only that, she started looking at the tree. See? In verse 6, it said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and she ate it and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then their eyes were open. See? And then reasoning came in. See, then they started, then Eve believed Satan, because Satan told him, he said, you won't die. But God said, you're going to die. And because death did not occur immediately, she thought the serpent was right. Until God showed up on the scene later and told her about the labor pains that she wouldn't have to worry about if she had just been obedient. But see, just because it does not happen right then does not mean that the word was not from God. Because if you look at it, is Adam and Eve anywhere on the earth today? No. They did indeed die. They lost their immortality. They lost eternal life. They lost their eternal spiritual bodies and converted fully into flesh, which was already on them, but it didn't matter because the spirit had more control. The spirit was in control of them, and the flesh had to be subject to the spirit of God until they sinned and ate from the tree. See, they were always naked. They just didn't know it because the flesh didn't what? The flesh didn't matter because the spirit of God was fully in control of their lives. That's what it means. Let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in you, to truly be led by the Spirit of God, so that your flesh no longer has any say-so over what God has called you to do. See? Because what corrupts you is your thoughts. See? How you see yourself and the things of God. See? Because as I said, when the Holy Ghost has control of your mind, you're totally focused on that which God has called you to do, who you are. You're totally focused on your walk in Christ. But when you lose that and you start beginning to look to worldly things and fleshly things and I need and I want and I, you know, all of those things, you're allowing your flesh to have the victory over your spirit. See? That's why the Bible says, let every high thought and every imagination be brought into captivity until the will of God. See? Let it be brought into captivity unto the will of God for what? For your life. Every thought, every high-minded thing. See? Every high-minded thing. What are high-minded things? Those things that make you think you're more than you are, more than what God has called you to be. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So we're not going to win this fight in the flesh. We're not going to win this Christly walk. See? We're not going to win this road to salvation, to righteousness, to holiness in the flesh. We're not going to win it in the flesh. See? So it's not carnal in nature, but it's mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. That's those arguments you have in your mind. Well, is that really what God's saying? And God, do you know what I did, and you really calling me to be a pastor? See, those arguments, and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge and the will of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See? Bring it into the obedience. What did God tell you to do? Then that's what you should do. See, when Eve was at that tree with that serpent, she should have let him go on talking and be like, no, he told us not to eat from this tree. I ain't finna eat from this tree. You can go on about your business. See, bring in every high-minded thing, see? Oh, but her thought was, oh, I could be like God. That's what it is. If I eat in that tree, you know, that do look good. You know. It do look like it would taste good. When all them other days she done walked by that tree probably millions of times and not gave it any thought, because she knew you cannot eat from that tree. And as long as she had that thought, she could be obedient. But time somebody come and steer your focus off of God and onto the thing that he said you can have, all of a sudden that's what you want. And it ain't fair, God. Everybody else can eat from the tree. Why I can't eat from the tree? The birds can eat from the tree. Why can't I eat from the tree? Ain't nothing happening to you. You are not the birds. You are not them. What is for you is for you. What God has called you to do, that is what he called you to do. That is your purpose. That is your destiny. And when it is yours, nobody else's. So it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. They can lie, cheat, steal, and nothing will happen to them but let you do it. See? Because he didn't call you for that. See?
So it says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See? That when the enemy comes upon you, see, and because you were obedient to Christ, see, those people, those things that come against you, see, the blame lays on them. Remember, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. God will deal with them. But you've got to be obedient. You've got to hear your leader. You've got to hear the word of God. See? Because like I said, if he was a man or she was a woman of God, when she prophesied, the car and the houses and the money and the new job, when correction comes. When they tell you, baby, no, you can't do that. Sweetie, that wouldn't be advisable. That wouldn't be good for you. Or a woman of God, don't act like that. A man of God, don't act like that. See? Don't take it for granted that they're coming against you. See? God has put them in that place as the watchman over your soul. See? They intercede for you. They're keeping you before God's face that you might be successful in your walk in Christ. Back in the day, we used to say, ooh, I know somebody was praying for me because, ooh, Lord God, I know I was guilty of that. Driving down the road, you speed, you go up, you see, they drive past you and pull somebody else over. Ooh, I know somebody was praying for me because, ooh, that should have been me. Thank God. See? Your leaders keep you in prayer. See? See? They keep you in prayer to help you on good leaders. I'm talking about good leaders to help you on your spiritual walk, because the one thing that they want more than anything, that your soul be saved. See? See? See, we have to think about that, especially if we have good leaders. Especially when we have good leaders. We have to think about that. We have to obey the word when it comes to them. Because we don't know what they've gone through in order for them to keep teaching us. See? To keep coming and dealing with our issues when we call them late in the night. Or we just need a word. We don't know. We don't know the trials that they go through because they never talk about it. But they're always there when we need them. I'm talking about good leaders, y'all. See? I'm talking about when you test the spirit by the spirit and you found out that, yes, this is a man or woman of God, so that when they correct you, you don't have an issue knowing whether this is of God or not. Because, number one, you know what you're doing. Most times, you just don't want to stop doing it, and that's why you take offense. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. Remember them. See? It says, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with fools which have not profited those who have been occupied of them. See? It ain't about the fool. But it's about the word of God that your leaders have spoken over you. What have they spoken over you? And are you fighting for that word? Do you believe it in the first place? Do you believe it in the first place? and you still doubt it. And you still don't accept it, because it ain't what you want to do. I just want to live my life. But if you are in Christ, your life is no longer yours. Let me say that again. If you are in Christ, your life is no longer yours. You have given all for Jesus. You have confessed Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. Now you belong to Him. Remember that song, I belong to God. I belong to God. Remember that? Yeah. And that old song we used to sing back in Sunday school, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior. I surrender all. Did you really surrender all? Or it wasn't just a song that you were singing because they told you to sing it. Because when you surrender all, that means that you give up everything that is you, that you thought was you, to take on this garment of Christ Jesus so that He can reshape, remold, and remake you into God, into who God called you to be in the first place, before you even set foot in the earth realm. If He called you to be pastor, if He called you to be evangelist, if He called you to be just man or woman of God, sister, brother, deacon, usher, see, helper. All those are names changes from what you once were called, because now you're doing the works of the Lord. You're working alongside the body of Christ to fulfill the vision of the ministry that God has given your leader. See? So you're not the same old person. You're not the same old person. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See? There's a difference. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater. It may not feel like it all the time. The enemy will tell you that, no, you can't do it. This is not how it is. But what has God said about you? What are your thoughts about who you are in God? What are your thoughts about the word of God? Do you receive what he has said about you? Or do you suddenly wallow in self-defeat when somebody speaks something contrary to you, rather than standing on the word of God, as Jesus told Satan, listen, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not finna fling myself off this building just to prove to you who I am. I'm not finna do that. Why? For what? I'm not trying to be exalted, because who is debased? God himself will exalt them. I rather all the exaltation from the Lord God Almighty than from any man in earth, because these things are all going to pass away. These things are all temporary. These things are all temporary. They're going to pass away. It's not going to even matter. I'd rather have my eternity with Christ Jesus, being obedient, being moved by his spirit, than a temporary situation defining the rest of my life permanently. Yeah. This Christ walk ain't going to be easy. We're going to have some hurt feelings. We're going to have some days when we feel like we're not going to make it. But the scripture says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. In Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. Isaiah 55:11. So are the words that cometh forth from my mouth. They shall not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Are you allowing the words that God has spoken over your life prosper in the thing, because you are the thing which unto he sent it? Allow it to prosper in you. Because God has started a good work in you. Yes. And he will complete it until the end. He's going to do it. He's going to complete it. There is no doubt about that. You don't even have to think about that. See? See? What are you confessing? What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about you? What are your thoughts about what God has said to you? What your leaders have spoken over you concerning you? Can you think on those things and be okay with it? Or do you still allow the thoughts of the enemy to interlope in the back of your mind, thinking that you're not worthy? No, I can't do it. I know what the pastor said, and I know God said this, but God, did you forget? No, God didn't forget. God knew. He's trying to call you to the remembrance of the things that he has called you to. Remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." See? To bring you unto what I said, the end that I have stated, the end that I have planned for your life. This is where I'm leading you. This is where I'm guiding you. This is where I'm taking you. Son, daughter, this is where you're going. So there's no need for you to doubt. There's no need for you to have any contrary thoughts other than what God has spoken to you about your purpose, about your destiny, about your calling, about who you are in Christ Jesus. So let us this day forth let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in us, because he didn't doubt the Father. He confessed what the Father said about his life. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the what? Out of the mouth of God. What word has proceeded out of the mouth of God concerning you? See? Paul told Timothy, he said, you got to fight, Timothy. You got to fight for the prophecies that was what? That was spoke over your life. You've got to fight for it. No one's just going to give it to you. I'm sorry. They not. See? Because people see you making moves, and people see you doing stuff, and you're beginning to prosper, and you're beginning to change your ways. And guess what? They mad. Because there's something different about you. Oh, since you've been going to that church, you act like you can't talk to nobody. Oh, since you've been going to that church, you act like you can't hang with us no more. I'm sorry, I can't. See, because I've got to keep my mind focused on Jesus. I got to get myself right. I can't hang with you right now because, you see, I'm not strong enough to resist temptation. See? I'm not strong enough to resist going back to the things that I used to do last week. I'm not grown in Christ enough yet. And you might not understand that, but I do. I understand that. See, so there are just some things that I can't do right now. See, because I gotta stay focused on that which God has called me to do. It's not that I'm shunning you. I'm just working on myself. I'm just trying to get right with God. See, and they ain't gonna hear that. They're not gonna believe you. they're not going to believe you because they're going to think, oh, well, you just think you're better. No, it's not that I think I'm better. But he that is on the inside of me is greater. And he's calling me to greatness. He's calling me to greatness. See? I'm trying to fight the good fight. See? I'm trying to follow after righteousness and godliness. See? I'm not trying to be high-minded. I'm not trying to be more than what God has called me to be. I'm just trying to be what God has called me to be. This is Pastor Leona Ross of Blog Talk Radio, If My People. That was our message for today on what your thoughts. So we want you to think on that. You can always contact me here or by email, rrl345@hotmail.com. If you have questions, I will be glad to answer them. Those of you who have my personal contact number, you can always call me. It has been a pleasure. God bless you. Y'all take care of yourself. Be happy. Always pray. Seek God's face. Honor God in all things that you do. It surely has been a blessing to be with you today. I'm going to get you out of here because our time is up. And we're going to take you out today with, I don't know. Let's go out of here with Fred Hammond. Hear my cry, O Lord. Until next week, this has been Pastor Leona Ross. Hear my cry, It's My People, on Blog Talk Radio. I'm